Happy Sabbath, everyone. We have a full house today. It's good to see everyone. Thank you, Mr. Tuck, for leading those hymns. Thank you, Mr. Anderson, for that opening prayer. I liked his last statement to help us to become more like you. You know, isn't that what it's all about? My family is... Everyone in my family's here today, so that's a blessing. For all those that are online and not feeling well, we are thanking and praying for you. And we hope that you can return with us soon. The title of the message I have is, Have the Will to Obey God. When we hear those words, do we cringe a little bit? Do we sometimes look at our life and say, well, I really don't always want to obey God? What comes to mind when we hear those words? When we hear those words, we should desire to want to obey God. We should ask ourselves, do I want to obey God? It's a simple question, because that's why we should be here, is to obey God. That's why we should be living our lives, to obey God. Our mindset should be that I want to obey God. I mean, this is serious. This is what we've been called to do. This is what we made a commitment in our calling, is to obey God. But overcoming our will and doing God's will is not easy, is it? It's not easy. Not many find the way in overcoming their will and putting on God's will. Look at how many people have left that used to be with us. Some have said, oh, we don't have to keep the law anymore. And some of those who said, you don't have to keep the law anymore, oh, I'll be in God's kingdom. Or I'm going to heaven. They have their own perceived ideas, preconceived ideas in what they believe and what they think, which is actually not accurate. But those who do want to overcome their will and put on God's will be committed to living to God. Those of God have different values than those in the world. The values of the world are going to be burned up, and anyone who wants to hold on to those values will also be burned up as well. There are two rewards that will be given out when Christ returns. You can just jot down this scripture. I'm not going to turn there. But Revelation 22, verse 12. Jesus Christ says, and he's warning us. He's warning us. He's actually saying, do we have the will to obey God? He says, behold, I am coming quickly. Coming quickly means he's coming without delay. It's going to happen. And he says, and my reward is with me. Now, he's going to be coming with two rewards, a good reward and a bad reward, eternal life and eternal death, depending if we want to obey God or not, depending on what our will is. To give to everyone according to his work. To give everyone according to their doing and how they're living. We all have preconceived ideas, don't we? A preconceived idea is a personal belief or judgment that is not founded on proof or certainty. And we'll touch on that as we go through this message. And through that process, when we have a preconceived idea, we can be living a certain way and we can have a certain understanding of how something is, then something new comes along and it's hard to change because we hold on to something. We hold on to something, this preconceived idea that's not factual or sound. Our ability to do God's will depends on how we are able to overcome our will. We can ask the question, do I have the will to obey God? Am I committed to living God's way of life? That's my SPS. And the title again is, Have the Will to Obey God. Make today great. You know, in someone's email, when you email back and forth, it's like, I hope you're having a good day, or I'll talk to you later. I hope your day is going well. I have a colleague, actually a business associate, who always say at the end of his emails, make today great. Do it. Make it happen. Make today great. It's almost like as when we encourage each other, it's like, I hope you're doing okay. I hope you choose to do the right thing. No. Choose the right thing. Do what's right. We're here to help each other, to encourage each other, to overcome. We're here today because most of us have made that commitment to obey God. And it's through the power of God's Holy Spirit that we are able to overcome, and sin, our sins, can be forgiven. Without God's Holy Spirit, your sins cannot be forgiven. You cannot overcome sin without God's Holy Spirit. Let's turn to Romans chapter 1. I want to read two verses. And as we go through this, we can ask the question, because our calling actually requires growth, and with godly growth requires godly change. When we know what is right, we need to do it. That's what Paul is saying in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So they take the truth and they suppress it by doing evil, by going contrary to God, by not wanting to obey God. In verse 25, the first part, it says, who exchanged the truth of God for what? For the lie. Willing to give God's word up for the lie, to not give up their will and put on God's will. I have 2 points. And the question is, before I give this first point, is what do we value? Is it to obey God? Or is it not to obey God? Because that's what it comes down to. But number one is, if it's to obey God, then you can write down point number one, we must be committed to obeying God. And we can ask ourselves, is this my will? Do I really want to fully obey God? As we heard a couple weeks ago by Mr. Tuck, do we fully want to obey? 1 Corinthians chapter 8, when we hear the inspired words of God, do we live by them? Or are we just holding on to our will? That's the question. That's where we have to be honest with ourselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 and 3. Here we have Paul, and he's talking in verse 1. He says, now concerning the things offered to idols. Okay, here is an issue. Here is a problem in the church about meat, things being sacrificed to idols. Should we eat it? Should we not? He says, we know that we all have knowledge. What he's saying is, we know that everyone has an opinion. Everyone has a preconceived idea and what should be done. And what happens when we have that type of knowledge? It says knowledge puffs up. It puffs up. It puffs us up. I know more than you. He's saying, where's the base? If we're here to obey God, What is the proof? He's saying knowledge puffs up. So that type of thinking that I have the solution, I know what the answer is, it's got to be done this way. And we don't listen to anyone else. And we're vocal about it. And we puff out our chest. And it's got to be done this way. And I see the scripture this way. And this is how it is. But he says, don't do that. He says, love edifies. Change that attitude. Change that thought process. Change that will and overcome and put on God's will. And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing. I know Mr. Waterhouse many years ago always used to, he read a scripture that, you know, like, what we know is maybe a drop in the bucket. But actually he would go and change it and say, you know what? We're less than nothing. We know nothing. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. So if we're putting on God, if we're putting on his will, God knows that. We're comforted by that, and we take one day at a time, and we live to him. We all have preconceived ideas, but you know, those are not founded. They're not founded. Our words, our thoughts, our ideas, you know, these be based on the scriptures, what God says. Scripture says, if we love God, we'll keep his commandments. And if we're keeping his commandments and we're loving God, then they're not a burden. But if we have preconceived ideas, and we're saying that this is where this should be, and that's where that should be, and we're not following the word of God, following the structure of authority, but we all seem to know everything, or we're doing what we want to do, and we have our own thought processes. Oh, God says this is okay, and or whatever it is. How can we love one another? Because we're not keeping his commandments. Jesus Christ said, a new commandment I give to you through the power of the Holy Spirit as we make a commitment, and I'm going to help you love one another. Love as I loved. I never sinned against you, and I died for you. Be willing to love and serve and give of ourselves to others. It comes from having that mindset, do I want to obey God? This is something that we must choose to do. And the question is this our goal? Is this our goal? Is our goal to obey God, or do we just want the kingdom of God? Many of us have the kingdom of God as our goal, and it's the wrong goal. They want to bypass this overcoming thing and just want the kingdom of God. What does Paul tell us what the goal is supposed to be? Philippians chapter 3. I'm hoping that this message can just come and stir us up to desire to want to be like God. We all struggle. We all have to overcome. We're not perfected, are we? The ministry is not perfect. We still sin. I don't want to sin. I don't want to practice to sin. And that's the mindset we need to have. And that's what we need to put into practice. Paul says, Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 12, and he's going through this process. I'm a sinner. I messed up. You know, I focused on the flesh. I killed people. But to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, I can be forgiven if I choose to overcome my will and put on God's will. And let's pick it up in verse 12, Philippians chapter 3. Not that I have already attained. He's talking about, I haven't already attained eternal life. I haven't already attained the reward. Because this is what I'm shooting for. I want the reward. Or am I already perfected. My character is not already perfected. I still make mistakes. I still need the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to cleanse me through the power of God's Holy Spirit. But you know what? He says, I press on. That doesn't mean I give up. That doesn't mean we let Satan to come into our minds and to cause doubt. We don't want to buy in to him. He says, I press on. I press on a desiring to obey God, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ also has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended or to take possession of the reward yet. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, the things that I've messed up on, the things that I've sinned and have been forgiven of, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I have the sights of receiving eternal life. I know what the book says. He says, verse 14, he says, I press towards the goal of overcoming. For what? For the prize of that upward call of God in Jesus Christ. Verse 15, therefore, let as many as are mature have this mindset. God has opened our mind and helped us to see it. How bad or how much do we desire to live to God? He continues this, 1 Corinthians 9. As he's encouraging the brethren, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, as we continue this thought process of the goal is to overcome. As we overcome and live to God and put him first, there's a prize of eternal life. Verse 24 of Corinthians chapter 9, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? The one who comes in first. No one cares about second place. No one remembers who came in second. Unless it was maybe one of your kids. He says, this is our opportunity. There are no second chances. He says, run in such a way that you may obtain it. And this process, what I'm focusing on is overcoming our will and putting on God's will. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. It means they're disciplined. They're determined. They have self-control. And what he's talking about here is paralleling with the runners then of a physical crown, but for us, a spiritual crown. We do this in all things, no matter what we're going through, what tests or trials we go through. We press on. Are we determined to obey God through anything? That's the question we need to ask ourselves. They do this to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. So we don't run with uncertainty or aimlessly. We know there's a reward. And we know that God's way works. He says, thus I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. In other words, we don't just preach it, we live it. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 5. And let's take a test. We test ourselves. Because I've been talking about having preconceived ideas. In other words, we do things a certain way. Something happens, and then we react. Are we reacting in a godly way and God's understanding, his will, his desires? Or are we under the influence of the world and respond in a worldly way? Jesus Christ says in verse 38 of chapter 5, Matthew 5, verse 38, he says, you have heard that it was said that an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You've heard this. But, he says, but I tell you not to resist an evil person. Do not resist an evil person. It means love them. Think of them as you. Don't resist them. So here's the test. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. So when someone sins against us harshly, what's our reaction? Is it to immediately turn the other cheek? Or are we looking to think about what we should do, how to react? What's the basis of how we should react? Do we have the preconceived idea that, well, they hurt me, I can hurt them? They hurt me, I'm going to hold off on forgiving them. I'm not even going to talk to them. That's a preconceived idea because that's not scriptural. The fact is, we immediately turn the other cheek. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what Jesus Christ did. That's the example he set. Do we do that? If anyone wants to, verse 40, to sue you and take away what you have, here it says your tunic, the outer coat, let him have your cloak also. In other words, he's going to sue you? Oh, they're going to sue me. What do I do? What are we going to do when someone sues us? Well, sway out the facts here. Am I right more than I'm wrong? Or what are they doing? They're just trying to come after my money? We're just told here by Christ says, oh, someone's suing you? Give them more than what they're asking. The preconceived idea is, no, we need to hold on to what we have. God is saying, which is scripturally sound, give them more than what they ask for. Hard for us to think for when we have this preconceived idea of how the world thinks and where they came up with this, which is obviously from Satan. Verse 41, and whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. So someone says, hey, come with me and help me. It's a lot of work on a Sunday to move. And you move them in. So, okay, you're done now. You can go home. No, let me stay and help you put it all away too. Is that our first thought process? Or is it, oh, I got to get to the football game? What is God telling us? Do we want to obey him? Verse 42, give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. Wow. Someone wants to borrow this and borrow that. It's like, well, am I going to get it back? What does the Bible say to do? The Bible says to do it. Our thought process is, whoa, just a minute. And we're probably racing through our mind. Is this factual? Is this profound? Is this sound? Is this the scriptures? Did someone twist them? Verse 43, for you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Hate those who hurt you and persecute you. Don't spend any time with them because all they're going to do is take advantage of you. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. The world under the sway of Satan does not understand, does not comprehend these words. Question is for us. We understand them. We hear the words. We know they're from the Word of God. Do we want to apply them? Verse 45, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. If we're not applying this way of life, it says we're not going to be of our Father in heaven. It will be of our father, Satan, the devil. For God makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. God is kind to everyone. He's the judge. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? If you're only going to love those who love you, and we know we're supposed to be loving everyone, the reward we'll have is not a good reward. Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Don't be that way. Get rid of your will and put on God's will. And it says, therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. If our mindset is do the perfect will of God, and we're doing that, and we're trying to do that, and not wanting to practice sin, then we will be perfect just like God is. So the mindset that this is how he lives, this is who he is, and this is what he does. This is his whole being. If we have that same thought process, and that's what we want to be, and use the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to overcome, we can be like that too, with their help. Point number two. Well, before I go to point number two, Jesus Christ said in John 5:30, he says, I, and this is God. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ never sinned. He came in the human, as a human being in the human flesh. John 5:30, he says, I can of myself do nothing. I can't do anything. So sometimes we think that, oh, I'm going to overcome this, I'm going to do that, and we're going to do this on our own. Jesus Christ says, I can't even do anything on my own. As he hears the Father, I judge. And my judgment is righteous. In other words, we can make righteous judgments if we're going to seek the words of God and live by them. Because he says, I do not seek my own will. I don't seek. In the human flesh, he had to overcome. But the will of the Father who sent me, that's who I'm seeking. When we seek our own will, we have a self, we have a righteous disconnect. We are self-righteous. But when we're seeking his will, we can understand that our understanding was not from above. Our understanding needs to be from above. So number two is, we must recognize the difficulty and ask for God's help. So we recognize and see that if we just read this, it's like, wow, my understanding, I'm not living that way. I'm talking about myself because I don't fully live this way. But I want to. All right? I was going through the scripture last night and this morning. It's like, wow, I'm in business. I have people suing me. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I let it go. Sometimes I fight it. I have to look at this and say, you know what? The preconceived idea is he's taking advantage of me. He's doing these different things. But you know what? Where's my faith? Do I trust God? Am I going to obey God and do what he says and let him work it out? He took Israel out of sin and blessed them all the way up to the promised land, but then he never let them in. And they complained. They didn't have faith. He wanted them to have faith. God wants us to have faith. We need to listen to his words. I need to listen to his words and just let him work it out. Because I can't do it. That takes trust. That takes overcoming my will and putting on God's will. And we must recognize the difficulty and ask for God's help. And I wrote down, I'm going to read it to you. I'm not going to turn there. Jeremiah 17:9-10. We've heard it many times. Says, the heart is deceitful above all things. Yep, I want to hold on to my things. I don't want to borrow because I may not get it back. The heart is deceitful above all things. Do we believe it? The Bible says so. So of course we do. The heart fools us. The heart fools us. It's desperately wicked. Who can know it? God says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. He's opening us up. He's searching. He knows. And that's what he says, even to every man according to his ways. He says, I give all people their due rewards, whatever they're doing, according to the fruit of his doings. In other words, according to our actions of what we deserve. God is opening us up. The question is, do we want to obey? Do we want God to lead us? Is what it comes down to. And will we follow? Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. God does that. He's doing that for us. Question for myself, the question for you is, are we following? Do we want to follow? We don't come here, you know, this, you know, God is so merciful. Have you heard me speak when I first speaking, I remember when Mr. Tuck was here and Mr. Anderson asked me to give a opening prayer. I said, no, you know, but God is the one who works in us to do his will. And we want to bring out his word because this is his day. This is his day. This is a Sabbath day that we have every week. Yes, we have a law all the way until we get to Passover again. But you know what? The first holy day in Leviticus, as we go through the holy days, is the Sabbath. We have the Sabbath. God is very merciful. He's very long-suffering. He cares for us. I'm still surprised he's worked with me. I was not a good husband, you know, but you know what? I knew I wasn't, and I didn't want to be that way. I wanted to change. I think we've all gone through that in our lives. But God is the one who does the work in us. So when we see each other living God's way, and we can encourage each other and give each other, you know, credit, we don't take the credit, do we? God gets the glory because it's him living in us. When we live this way and get rid of our preconceived ideas and put on Christ, we're different and God gets the glory. Just before the tribulation, going into the tribulation, Matthew 24 talks about the love of many is going to wax cold. That love is those who have God's Holy Spirit. There are those who have it and don't use it. And there are those who have it and use it. And the ones that have it and use it, when they're persecuted, even martyred, whatever God, however God works it out, they show love. They're able. Someone wants to come take their things. Oh, take them. Someone wants to slap them on the cheek. They turn the other cheek. Someone wants to steal from them. They're fine with it because they don't have the preconceived idea that they need to hold on to it. They become Christ-like. We become Christ-like. So Hebrews chapter 4. We have this day of rest. We have this day of instruction, as we heard in the opening prayer. This is a day for us every single week that we can come out of this world, stop doing what we normally do during the 6 days of the week. It's only sin on the Sabbath day. It's fine to do it before sunset and after sunset, but we change. We come to a different mindset and we struggle with it. We have to put on Christ and we have to put out our struggles, the business, the things that are going on in our mind. We need to stop it. And we come to this opportunity, this holy day, to learn to be instructed by God. And we are instructed by God. Question is, I have to ask myself, will I listen to the fullest extent? Do I want to overcome my will? Hebrews chapter 4, and again, this is under point number 2. We must recognize the difficulty and ask for God's help. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11, we'll go through verse 16. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. We want to be diligent to enter the kingdom of God. And to enter the kingdom of God, that must be our desire to want that reward and to be living God's way now, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and it's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That two-edged sword cut us. It's cut me. It's opened me up. It's God's word opening us up. It says, there is no creature hidden from his sight, talking about us, the converted person, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. There's going to be a time of judgment. Our time period of what we're living is very short. Even if Christ doesn't return in our lifetime. Average lifespan, 70 years. Some live longer than that. But our lifespan is so short. Do we want to live forever? Or do we want to hold on? Do we want to hold on to our will? God can help us if we want to overcome. Verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Let us hold fast to the faith, brethren. We know what's right, and we do what's right, and we do it every single time, and see how God works it out. Are we willing to die? If it comes down to that. And it should come down to that. Are we willing to give everything up? For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. We have this weakness of wanting to hold on to our things, wanting to get even. But was in all points tempted just as we are, but he never sinned. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may have mercy and find grace, or find this favor of help in time of need. Brother, we have an amazing opportunity. We've been called out of this world. Our mindset, we have to overcome our will. We have to overcome Satan as he's continuing to put these thoughts in our head that have no basis of sound information whatsoever. We need to look at the Word of God. We need to live to God. I just encourage you, I don't have time to turn there, but if you have the opportunity and want to, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, read that whole chapter. At the very end of that chapter, Paul says, this letter should be read to all the holy brethren. Of how we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to be doing and how it is done. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. So in conclusion, do we desire to obey God? Do we desire to do what is right? We hear the words. We want to apply them. Do we desire to overcome our will and put on God's will? Do we have the will to allow God to open us up so that we can see who we are? Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to ask God to help us to do that? As we hear the next message, and as we leave here today, as we go forward, let's be asking God to search our hearts so that the teachings of this world can be unlearned, that we can unlearn them and put on Christ. Let's be committed and becoming like God so that we can receive the good reward. Brethren, let's make today great. Have the will to overcome. Have the will to obey God.